If I ask any of you to raise your hand if you want to have a family that is kind, compassionate, serving, and loving, you'd all raise your hands. But I might also ask you if you have the time to research how to do that. And most of our hands would probably not be up because we don't have the time to do that. So this year, we are starting something different. We've had some families come to us and say, would you coach us? Would you help us? Would you journey with us to teach our families how to love, how to serve? And quite honestly, we're just doing that with you. So we're so pumped to introduce our Family Coaching Network. It starts in January. You can go to www.bestrongstory.com to get all the information. But basically, we're just going to be coaching every month, doing some stuff that we're already doing with our family. January, we're talking about family mission. We're going to be teaching on that, but we're also going to give you the tools to do that with your family. And so make sure you go to www.bestrongstory.com to find out more. 'Cause
all I need is... Hi, I'm Christy Hayes and co-founder of Be Strong Story, a family mission and company founded because of a little lunchbox note my husband wrote my son that said,
"Be strong, protect the weak, love everyone."
That's right. We believe those three lines can change our world if we live them out. Each week, we'll be sharing an inspiring and real story of others who are displaying this message of love in big and small ways in their community. Because every way matters. We hope each story will inspire you to make this message your own. Let's go love the world, you guys.
Hey, Be Strong family. Thanks for tuning in for another Be Love podcast. Number one, I apologize for this voice. I have had a cold all week, but not sick enough that I can't interview some amazing people. So sorry about the operator voice, but you're just going to have to hear it. I'm super pumped about our guest today. Her name is Christina Jensen. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Christina. If you know anything about me, I love New York City. It's my favorite place in the whole world. And my husband took me there for our 40th birthday. One of our traditions, or I should say my tradition, not his tradition, is to go to a different fitness class in the city, like one that I've never been to or been a part of. And so he had two options. His first option was a bar class, and we've never been to a bar class. So I feel like that might be ballet. I'm not even sure, but he was like, no, thank you. And the other option was this new boxing gym called Rumble Boxing. And he definitely picked that one. And so we went to class and I had the best workout and the best instructor. Her name was Christina. I used to be a fitness trainer. And so I just know when a fitness trainer, number one, loves what she loves, loves her job, but also just loves the people around her. Like her desire isn't just to do a fitness class and peace out, but to actually invest in the community that's there. And that was Christina. And we ended up, of course, talking for like an hour afterwards. And I listened to all the things that she's been a part of and just her story. And it was just beautiful. And so I said, when we didn't even have a podcast at the time. And I remember telling Christina, I'm like, here's the deal. We have a podcast coming out in March. Would you be on it? And she's like, absolutely, because I think her story is so powerful. And I think all of us, especially as women, can see a piece of our own story in hers. So let me tell you a little bit about Christina. Christina is a Rumble boxing talent. She's a fitness model, an influencer, and a pro dancer. Christina Jensen has become one of the top fitness personalities of our time. Her passion for sharing fitness came after a crippling back injury that left her future grim. This is when she used fitness as her crutch, rehabbing back to health slowly and methodically. And this, you guys, was just the beginning. It was then that her mission to help others in the same way became her truth and vision. Christina continued to dance to rehabilitate her body at the same time. And after a complete recovery, Christina spent the next 5 years with the Radio City Rockettes. Now, I cannot even touch my toes. So that is, I don't even understand that. It's amazing. We've seen the Rockettes. She also maintained the dancer, principal dancer role with internationally acclaimed contemporary company Phoenix Project Dance. Christina has led numerous group fitness classes for Men's Health, Women's Health, Reebok, and some of the other well-known fitness providers. You may even recognize her kicking butt in Sean T's T25 workout. So her resume, super impressive, but I love her resume, but that's not why I asked her on the podcast. I asked her on our Be Love podcast because what I think you'll hear from her today is her desire to help others work towards their best physical, mental, spiritual self. and helping others love themselves through it all. So Christina, thanks so much for being on our podcast today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I am jealous because you are in New York City and I am not, although I do live in Denver, which is like the greatest place ever. But I love me some New York City. I love it. Have you lived there all your life or when did you come to New York City?
I've lived here in the city now for 8 years, but I grew up in upstate New York. So it was always coming in and out of the city to do different activities, events or school trips or family trips or what have you. So I was definitely lucky that I got to come in and out of New York a lot growing up.
It's so magical to me. And I know people who just don't love it. And for me, it literally is like my eyes just widen every time I come in and I meet the greatest people there. Like some people have this thing that New Yorkers are rude or mean. And I'm like, you guys, they are the nicest people. You just have to get to know them. And I was so blessed just to get to know you and hear your story. And I would love for you just to kind of start with your background. And, you know, you were in an industry that, you know, modeling and fitness industry and dance. And I have never been a part of any of that. So I'm like literally looking through your eyes. But I can imagine that it is a very critique, body critique place, that it would be very hard to stay strong and to love your body when someone is always telling you something else. So dig into that with me a little bit.
Oh, 100%. So I would have to say probably one of the hardest parts. I mean, you know, number one, when you're a dancer, you know, this is how I try to equate it to people or get them to understand. Just try imagine you staring, you have a career of standing and looking at yourself in the mirror and picking out everything that's wrong with what you're doing.
Well, no, thank you.
that is essentially what, you know, the technician of a dancer does. You know, when you're taking class in terms of like a ballet, which there's very specific interpretation of how you're doing things, almost to a point where thinking of like a gymnast, where they kind of go and there's a right way of doing certain moves and there's a wrong way of doing it. Dance is definitely no different. And the better the technician you are, the better you can be when it comes time for improvisation or even different stylized techniques. But, you know, there also is that weird, like little fine line that can hinder you creatively as an artist. And to try to maintain that healthy, creative interpretation, so to speak, is by being healthy in your mind and the perception of your body. So if you're lucky enough to be around teachers and people that influence you and support you and strengthen you, no matter what, you're lucky. But regardless, I think what people fail to recognize is that no matter what industry you're in, where you grow up, what you're going through, every single human being, man, woman, indifferent, go through some sort of eating, you know, messed up perception or trouble or negative relationship. And I specifically mean negative with food, exercise, and diet at some point in their life.
Tell me when that showed up for you. Or did that show up for you?
Oh, absolutely. So it first showed up with me when I was 14.
Okay.
And I did not realize that I had an issue. What I actually was doing was I had given up candy for Lent, you know, just like one of those typical part of the Catholic religion, you know, you want to, in preparation for Easter, it was kind of just taught that, oh, this year I'm going to give up candy. And when you're a kid, it's usually those materialistic things that are tangible, that are very easy to identify with and try and challenge yourself. And of course it was something that I knew would be good for me because I really love candy. And even to this day, I still do. So I challenged myself with giving up candy. And what I noticed was I started losing weight and it wasn't even intentional. It wasn't even like I was purposely giving up candy because I thought I was heavy or anything like that. And I wasn't. I was definitely very lean. And, you know, I was a young 14-year-old girl just going through puberty. And I ended up getting obsessed with having that control. And I even then did not know why I liked it so much. But even when you're a kid and you're going through puberty, pretty much everything in your life is not in your hands. Going to school, even, you know, as a dancer, of course I loved it, but there were certain things that my friends were going off and doing this. So I was kind of always pulled in a ton of directions, especially in that weird young adolescent time. And the one thing that I did have control over is the fact that I liked being able to be a little bit thinner. And I noticed I was moving faster. I noticed I could lift my leg higher. I noticed I could spin faster. I noticed it made dancing a little bit easier. So I can understand why dancers specifically, or gymnasts, or even athletes, to a point, being a little bit leaner, your body just moves a little bit faster. But it also gets to a point where if you go too much in the opposite direction, then you start losing muscle, which means you're going to lose energy, you lose endurance. And that's exactly what happened with me. Is I was lucky enough to be a national champion multiple times in the dance world. And it just so happened to be that when I was 15, I was at the international dance competition, and I was getting ready to go, and it's literally a week and a half long of interviews, taking different classes and being judged in different styles of classes. You get scores, doing all sorts of different master classes, meet and greet with teachers, socializing. I mean, it's literally such a big freaking hoopla and so stressful already. And when it comes time for you to perform the last time, what you do is all of the contestants, depending on how many winners there are internationally, and it probably this year just so happened to be there were like 30 girls in contention for this international title. And I went to go, you know, we learn like a huge opening number. And then the contestants have their opening interview. Think of it, it's almost like Miss America, and then the talent part starts. So then you perform. And it's such a big deal. And I remember going and performing my piece, and I had no energy at all. And so it just so happened to be that my cousin was my dance teacher, and she pulled me, she was very severely anorexic and bulimic when she was in college. And she pulled me aside and she goes, "Chris, you can't even get your legs off the floor. I know what you're doing." And I didn't even know. So what was really hard is I was too young to understand what I was doing, because I still didn't necessarily have the mental capacity to do it. And I
because what were you doing? Were you not eating? Because by this time, Lint's over, and you stopped with the candy. That's over. So now you just continued that with what? Not eating or not eating certain things?
I was eating, but I was eating very carefully.
Okay.
Like almost too careful, like salad without dressing on it. And skipping meals and slim fast bars and like nutrition bars, things that you would grow up thinking, oh, here, have a protein bar.
Yeah.
Well, your body can't live alone on protein bars, right, no matter what age you are. So I was thinking that eating a protein bar helped me save time, because at that point I was so deep in the sport of dance that I really didn't feel like I had the time or cared to even worry about eating.
Okay.
It was more about sleeping and then training.
And was anyone I want to stop you for a second. Was anyone in that period of time telling you your body looked a certain way, that you needed to lose weight or whatever? Or was this more just you? Okay.
That was all me.
Okay.
It was all me.
Okay.
And in reality, I'm telling you, it didn't even have anything to do with me standing in a mirror and being like, I need to lose weight. It wasn't even that at all. It was more or less, I think, out of what I thought in my mind was necessity, and necessity was spending more time working and less time eating.
Okay.
It wasn't the typical, I don't like how I look. It really wasn't. It really wasn't at all. Like,
did it ever get to that place where you were more that?
Oh yeah. So what ended up happening was, because I messed with my weight so young, and I didn't, even though it wasn't even intentional, my body was kind of in a borderline anorexia for a long time. So it was in starvation mode for so long that when I started eating normally again, and it was exactly at that one moment that I was like, oh my God, you're right. I can't even believe that's what I'm doing. I have no energy. So then imagine, you know, you're going through puberty already and your hormones are raging. I gained 50 pounds just eating normal, okay, not even eating unhealthy. I'm telling you, like veggies and whole grains, if I even, you know, because at that point, then I started, when I noticed I was gaining weight, it was like, oh no, now I can't believe this is bad. And it got so bad that I even saw different doctors. I finally started seeing trainers, because at that point, you know, when, you know, as a dancer, your career is very young. So I'm going into my 15 year of living and 16 years old, and then getting to be where I'm starting to audition for things in college and blah, blah, blah. So my body held on to that 50 pounds. Right now, if you were to look at my pictures, I weigh 125. So imagine me weighing almost 160.
Yeah. And you're short. I mean, you're you're petite anyway.
Right. I'm five five. So in the dance world, you know, for a lot of reasons, just for your health, in terms of just the way you can move when you're partnering with people, you know, it is a little bit harder when you're a little bit heavier. So it kind of made things really uncomfortable because I didn't, I was almost upset because it came from such an unintentional place. Yeah. That it was like, oh no, now I'm going to be suffering for the next. And it was, that's when I started getting involved at the gym. I started going to the gym and working out, but I wasn't seeing results. And it wasn't until, this is wild. So when I was 16, I won the international title. I actually won the crown, and I was overweight. And I won as a modern dancer, which was the first ever in the history of this competition. It was like, not only was the girl overweight, the girl was a modern dancer, which at this point in the dance world was becoming popular, especially in the competitive scene. It wasn't as commercialized. So it was like, holy crap. I in one year was able to, because of the perseverance of like, I'm not going to stop. I mean, it still isn't even now in my DNA to stop or not fight. I just kept going and I just kept going. And I'm very, unfortunately and fortunately, very stubborn. So I wanted to defy the odds specifically for that reason, because I knew technically I was very good. And I knew emotionally what I could portray on stage was very good and even better than the people that were around me. And I wasn't going to let my weight be the one thing that made me lose. And it was also the one thing that I used as a bargaining chip. Like, I purposely knew, okay, I messed with my weight 2 years ago. Now I'm suffering the consequences of it, but I'm not going to let it get in the way of pulling me down and having as much fun as I possibly could. I wanted to be the girl that was everybody's friend and cheered other people on. And it was at that point that then all of a sudden I win.
Yeah. And you probably let it go and you didn't maybe equate weight with being bad, like being a little overweight with being a bad thing, you know?
Right.
You did it. So as you continue through college and through kind of the professional world, how did the critique of others, I know we even talked about you going into some castings and people won't even give you a second look. And how does that make, like, how do you get past that feeling of, I don't know, if it's shame or if it's insecurity? I mean, if someone looked at me and didn't give me a second chance, like if I'm auditioning for something and they're like, goodbye, thank you so much, goodbye, I'd be like, wait, what? And then I would go home and maybe I didn't have an issue, but then I would go home and be like, wait, why did they say that? What's wrong with me? I mean, what, did you ever have those feelings?
Oh, of course. I think what's helped me cope is honestly experience, because, you know, give me like even 10 years ago, let's say when I was in my 20s, you go to an audition or you go to a casting or whatever, you know, they get a certain call, your agent sends you out, or let's just say it's even an interview. There's a lot of different things that you'll learn over time. Like, for instance, I went on, and the one I was talking with you specifically about was going and talking with a new agency. Now, what I had done specifically was I sent them my measurements, and I have hundreds of professional photographers, photos, and jobs that I've done. So I have a very good resume, and I knew that, you know, those are all great things that any agency would want to have on their team. So when I went in for the interview, there were a few things that I learned over time that I recognized as red flags. For instance, one of them was I go in and within the email that they sent me, they confirmed me, the agency itself, they kind of bragged themselves up a lot. And at that point in my mind, I was like, okay, this is a red flag, because if you're a really good agency, you don't need to tell me you are. You just need to show me you are.
Right.
Then I walk in, and number two, and the girl that met with me had said, oh, hi, you're the girl that you weren't able to send me any photos. So that was a red flag number two, because of obviously I had sent her hundreds, not hundreds of photos, but she had a Dropbox folder of all my photos, which there was access to hundreds of photos. So she clearly didn't even look at my information. And then number three, kind of turned around and be like, you didn't do your homework and send me the pictures like you were supposed to. So those were like three red flags where I was like, something's not right here already. So I continued on with the interview, even though I'm, you know, have these like little check marks off in my mind. And then she looked at me and she said, well, have you looked at our board? And I said, yes, absolutely. And she goes, well, you know, we have mostly women that are at least ethnic, not white girls. And I was like, in my mind, that's exactly why I would have been a perfect fit, is because I would be the one that you don't have a ton of. Right. And in my experience of all the agencies and the jobs that I've done, you're looking to be different than everyone else, not the same. So that then became a red flag. And the funny part is, you know, she said, I'm sorry, you're just too short and you're too white. You're not ethnic enough. So, you know, I had already had these check marks off in my mind before I walked in. And to me, that was just an excuse forever. For whatever reason, I have no idea why she even wasted my time and had me come in there. And I can handle it two ways. I could have handled it as number one, let it get to me. But the things that she's telling me were the reasons why she's not going to hire me were two things I have no control over.
Right,
none.
Right,
I have no control over my race, and I have no control over my height.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, if me, and I'll tell you what, if it were 10 years ago, I definitely would probably feel different, because I don't have control over those things. It's very upsetting to have someone tell you no.
Yeah.
But at the same point in this circumstance, it's a blessing, because I already had those check marks off in my mind as I was going into this, that they're very unorganized, that they're not truthful, which means that they're not going to do their best to push me and get me really good work and defend me and be on my side. That already were reasons enough, before she had even said those other two things, that would not be a good fit. If somebody gives you the bad vibe and the bad energy from the number one impression, your first impression, the first gut instinct is always right. Always, 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 always freaking right. If you are driving down the road and you're like, man, I don't have a good feeling about this, go a different way, because there's so much energy in this world. And if you just kind of trust your gut and trust your instinct, if I could tell myself that 10 years ago, that's what I would do. And, you know, like I said, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have felt this way. And there were lots and lots and lots and many years and many castings and many different situations where I did let this stuff affect me. And it's not that it doesn't. It could be any given day where I'm just a little bit down or whatever. And I'm like, damn, another freaking denial. But, you know, Aerosmith says it best in that song Dream On. If you don't lose, you'll never know what it's like to win.
That's so true.
And that's the truth.
And it doesn't know how, and you will never know how hard you can fight for something and persevere. I think for listeners, like, they're hearing your story, which is amazing, but many of them aren't fitness models or have ever felt like a casting call, someone say, nope, you're too short, or you're too this, or you look like this. But I guarantee, and you know this because you're a fitness trainer, that whether we are auditioning for whatever, we are auditioning for, you know, life. And
right.
So many women, and I can attest this too, just by being a fitness trainer as well, like, they come in and they're 40 and 50 years old and they are still dealing with a denial, someone who said they looked a certain way in middle school, and they're
right.
Still hanging on to that, those negative pieces that continue to affect their life forever. Kind of speak to that. Like, I know that you are training right now, and those are a lot of your clients are probably going through those things. What is a step that you might tell them, or one that you might model, that kind of helps us break through whatever those negative thoughts of ourselves? Because I guarantee most of us have sat in the mirror and looked at ourselves and gone, ooh, I don't like this. This needs to change. I don't love this. Not about being healthy. I get that part. I want people to be healthy and eat right things. But there's a difference when we're scanning our bodies and we're saying, I'm ugly, I'm this. And I guarantee if we ask 15 women one thing that they hated about themselves, they could give us one thing like this. And it, like, right, in 2 seconds. Right. But if I ask them one thing that they loved about themselves, and I've done this before, one thing that they loved about themselves, it would take them like a little bit to reply. Why, number one, why is that, do you think? And number two, mm-hmm, how do we get past that?
This is very interesting. So I am a huge believer in the human condition is negative. I do not think the human condition is positive. It is way too much work. We have way too much adversity and too much negativity surrounded by us on a day-to-day basis. We do not live in a utopian society. So I think it is more natural, a part of our human condition, to be pessimistic naturally and to be protective naturally and defensive naturally. I mean, think of how humans were, you know, you hear this all the time, like in the time of the cavemen. I mean, they were in constant protection mode, mm-hmm, or the men were in hunting mode and the women were the gatherers of and the caretakers. So there's certain things that are in our genetic coding that we don't even have control over. And I think one of them is to fix things that are wrong, whether you're a man or a woman. So we look at ourselves, or we look within things that we think are in our control, and we want to, you know, we want to fix them naturally. Now, my biggest thing is, it's very easy to look at myself in the mirror and find things that I don't like. But because I'm a little bit of a fighter and a little bit of a, I like to challenge and push the buttons. What do you look? I think instead of finding it being a negative thing, looking at yourself in the mirror and trying to find the one or good positive thing, look at it as a challenge, but a fun one, in a sense where it's like, okay, I am not going to freaking love anything about my life or love anything about the way I look today. And that is so easy to do. Does that make sense? And kind of looking at it instead of being like, okay, I challenge myself. This is a challenge, just like doing 5 push-ups. I challenge myself to try to find something good. And I'm not, you know, once you start kind of twisting it and trying, you have to consciously put a positive spin on it because it's not natural. And it's all about habits, just like the way you eat, just like how you walk to the train and you find the most, you know, in New York, you find the most, the easiest way to get here from here to there on your way to work or in the grocery store. When you learn these habits of where to find the green tea or where to find the sugar, where to find the tomatoes that are the best. It's like that. Those are all habits you learn through experience, mm-hmm, and talking and to yourself.
Practice. Yeah.
Everything in life is that way. Every freaking tiny thing, including positive talk. And positive talk is like, sometimes I feel like it sounds so damn cheesy. It's like, look at yourself, you know, you see on Instagram, look at yourself in the mirror and love yourself. Well,
you're like, what does that even mean? What does that even mean?
Now here's like the real New York state of mind in you. It's like the annoyed, sarcastic New Yorker in me is just like, oh my God, give me a break. But then at the same point, look at yourself in the mirror and be like, you know what? I love how I feel when I put X, Y, and Z on.
Yeah. I like that.
And those are the tiny little things that is like, you know what? Then all of a sudden you like what you look like. Mm-hmm. So.
Because you're appreciating your body for doing things, you know, I think that's a thing too, is like, it is practice. It is literally practice where you have to every day have the mindset, like whether it be picking out something that you love about yourself or being appreciative that it's working. So for instance, right, you know, after you have kids, like your body looks different, just period. And some people come back faster than others. I remember, mm-hmm, literally it took me a while to get back. And I was always an athlete, never struggled with, you know, weight or anything like that. And it was these feelings of like total, it was just the weirdest feelings that I had. And, you know, I hear all the time, like, appreciate your body for what it does, like appreciate the scars or appreciate, you know, the extra rolls that you have because they birthed a baby or, you know, the hips that you have, all those things. And I think it is true. I think we do have to appreciate our body because I like what you said. I feel strong. Like for me, it's, I feel strong when I can lift a certain weight. I feel strong when I can do the monkey bars with my kids. I feel strong, or I feel, you know, encouraged or all these different things when I can do that. And I think seeing it maybe that way instead of just, oh, I want to look a certain way, because quite honestly, the way that the world has told us that we have to look is completely unattainable. I mean, you've probably seen it in your world of modeling world and those kind of things. I mean, with touch-ups and Photoshop and all the things that we see on Instagram, that is not real.
Oh yeah. We live in a filtered social world. It's just, and you just kind of, to me, I just like, I kind of laugh at it now because I think the funny part is I even saw this little kid, on, Gary V's show, his podcast. And this little girl who was 9 years old was like, "Hi, Gary, I'm a rapper." And she's like, "So I just want some advice on what you think that I should be doing to help out my social media." And to me, that was like, oh my God, holy crap. What a different world we live in, right? Already. But, this little kid was like super fired up, super motivated from like the get go. And the advice that Gary V gave her, oh, she said something that stuck with me was, oh yeah, he goes, "You sound like the real deal." And she goes, "Oh yeah, I am not fake at all." And I think people need to be a little bit more cognizant of how they use the phrasing fake. There's really no such thing as fake out there, guys. If somebody is, you want to talk about like the even like the Photoshop or the editing, you know, those kinds of little things unfortunately make people feel good. And whether it's real or it's not, it's real because it's happening. I think we need to just kind of look at it differently. There's always something behind the fake. So for instance, if somebody's fake to you, you know, quote unquote, like how they're being genuine to you, the truth of the matter is don't be offended by it. It's not you. It's something going on with them that they feel like they can't be real with you.
I am so pumped for today's sponsor. They are Recreate Solutions, and you are never going to believe the deal that they are giving three of our listeners. So what's Recreate Solutions? Basically, they are a consultation coaching company, but they're not just that. They really are a transformation company. They help leaders and businesses going from being busy to productive. They help you get unstuck. They help you get to the next level of where you want to be. You don't know how many emails I get all the time from moms who have been home with their kids, and then their kids are in school and they think, "Wait, what am I supposed to do? What was my purpose? What was my passion? Help me find the things that I'm good at. Help me find the things I loved." And that is what Jeremy and his team are here for, to help us find what we're gifted at, our talents, and how we can impact the world. So definitely go to recreate-solutions.com, go to contact us, contact Jeremy, let him know you heard us here on Be Love Podcast so that you can get all of the advice and the coaching that you need to impact your world. Because everyone has a past and everyone has a story.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we have to realize is that even the people on social media that we might look at who feel fake to us or whatever, magazines, whatever, they all have their own insecurities. They all have their own story.
Yes.
They all have their own, whether they look the most beautiful part in the world or they look like they can do it all, every single person is just trying to make it.
And we're reminded by it every day. Like, look at people like Marilyn Monroe. I mean, she was supposed to be one of the most beautiful icons of her time, but she was nothing but ridiculed, guys. She was called a whore. She was called slutty. She was the bimbo blonde. And it's like all of a sudden now she's gone and she's being iconized more than she ever was when she was alive. Now that's our own freaking fault because you don't appreciate people when they're here. You know, it's like Tesla. Tesla was a genius. And it's fine. It's funny how we're now hearing more and more and more and more about Tesla more than we ever did. And he's gone. So I think we just need to be careful and try and appreciate everyone and everything around us because we don't live in a time when people aren't suffering and they're not struggling and things are handed to you. That world doesn't exist anymore at all.
Tell me how you surround yourself, because I feel like you are a very positive person, and that was kind of what I know we're talking about some hard conversations right now. And
oh, no problem.
But it's
I
like
love this.
It's when you meet, you are a bubble. You are, you know, a ray of light. But I think because you are, that means you also attract light. And so I want people to know who they are around or who they surround themselves with is so important. Have you found that true just even out inside the world of dance and those kind of things, but even now as a trainer, Is that something that's important to you loving yourself and loving others well when you have community who is similar?
Absolutely. I mean, and the hard part with this industry or any industry is things are obviously incredibly competitive. And the hardest part about the fitness world right now is, you know, the people that I'm working with at Rumble every day, the normal person would see it as you're at competition with these people because of the Instagram likes and because of the sponsorships. And every person that steps in your room, you get paid on a base of how many people are in your space. Like those tiny little things could lead to a competitive nature, or you have to kind of, if you cannot handle that not being your focus, then you shouldn't do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because in reality, that is an unrealistic and unnecessary pressure you're kind of putting on yourself. Well, and then it's stressor. Also and it's also becoming not what your job is. And this is what I remind clients this in my classes, maybe even when you took my class, was that I am doing my job not because of the social media, not because of the sponsorships, not because of definitely to make money, definitely for that reason. But that's not what I'm doing when I'm teaching a class. So, you know, when you are around people that is their main focus, that's a red flag. And, you know, Rumble's done an incredible job that they're incredibly selective. We have a really amazing team of executives and upper management and people that take a lot of time and passion and sleep and losing time with families and friends and vacations to make sure that this is a sound, safe, encouraging, positive, creative, fueling environment.
Which I think I think an employer's job is to make that type of thing, which there's not a lot out there that do.
No.
And just to, you know, even to put it in my world, I'm not a fitness trainer anymore. I run a business and a podcast and I have kiddos. But one of the things that I'm going to compete with others about or have that kind of comparison syndrome, I like to call it, is maybe when other people I feel like they're ahead of me on something, or maybe they're a better mom. Momming is actually something that I don't feel super secure with. I have to be very intentional. I don't feel like just a great mom. So if another mom, you know, cooked their kids homemade, whatever, and, you know, all these different things, that could make me feel super unworthy as a mother, or like other people look at her as a better mom than me. I don't choose to see it that way. I actually choose to see it as now, those are her gifts. I'm never going to be that mom. Like, I'm always going to be the box brownie mom. That's okay. Like, I'll send my kids to her house if they want some homemade, you know, things. But it doesn't mean I have to feel insecure because she's doing well.
Right. And use it as fuel. And that's, I think, where I think, honestly to God, I think that's probably the key, man, because in reality, that is the biggest difference that I've used. When I see that somebody's good at something, I'm so intrigued by it that I'm like, oh my God, that is so cool. Teach me how to do that.
Yes,
too.
Yes.
Like, I'm encouraged by the learning process. Yep. I just said to my friend Ash Wilking, she just posted a video the other day where I had no idea that she used to study Taekwondo and she's very good at it. So she did this video where she has these little in and out takes of her as a kid in Taekwondo matches where she's doing one of her routines. And then she shows her now as an adult doing it in one of the parks by where I live actually. And I was like, holy crap, she's a ninja. I want to learn how to do that. So cool. So I don't know. I'm not saying it's easy, because the first place that my mind will go is, I'm not good like that. And then I have to take the emotion out of it.
Yes.
And say, wait a second, what is it about it that is so intriguing to me? And it's because I think it's so freaking cool that I want to try it too.
Yeah. Yeah. And you ask for help. I think that's the big thing, is like, if you see someone doing something that you actually would like to do, instead of thinking I'm less than, I can't do that, that's so amazing, I'm kind of like you too, where I'm like, oh, I'm going to go ask that girl for help, which I think is so hard for women and men to ask. Like, we just go about and go, oh, I could never do that. And then we start to feel less than, instead of going, ooh, they could teach me a thing or two. I'm going to ask for help. And I think help is one of my favorite words. Help me.
And maybe not even from that specific person, because sometimes people that inspire us might not always give us the, it's like, first you have to step back and recognize what's really going on. What is it about that situation that makes me feel like a bad mom or makes me feel like a bad trainer, yes, or whatever, good, you know, good. A bad worker. And then number two, am I comfortable, and does that person give off the energy that if I were to go up to them and have a conversation with them about it, would they fuel that and be open, or would it make me feel even worse? Because you know damn well before you even try, right? So there are certain people I know that I could be like, Ash, let's go play in the park. I want you to teach me how to do all that crap. And I know that there's people in my life on a day-to-day basis that would not make me feel good. They would just probably talk about it and say, oh yeah, let's get together sometime. Then it never happens. And then it makes me feel like crap. And then there's the third thing, that I could pursue it myself. If I was really that passionate about it, I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to make it a point today. I'm going to look at a damn video and I'm going to go try, or I'm going to go and take a class.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, there are so many freaking options. I think we get stuck in our own way, and it's so easy to get stuck in the negative, and it's so normal. Like, understand that it's normal. Understand that it's normal to be defeated and to be comparison and feel competitive and put yourself down. Those things are normal. But what's not going to serve you and not push you ahead, obviously, is to live in those moments. But at the same point, it's like, what the hell do you do? Well, I think like those three steps are like a surefire way of propelling or pushing you ahead. And it's like, for me, in my industry, I have always naturally gravitated toward men. I have two brothers that are athletes. One of them right now runs the marketing, all of the marketing and advertising and creative design for Spartan Races. And I always feel so much better, and it's so much more natural for me to go to a man and ask them for advice. So for me, you know, if you're the type of person where you feel much more comfortable around women, or you feel much more comfortable around family, or you feel much more comfortable around your spouse or your partner or whoever it is, talk to them about it. Cause you have no idea. Sometimes there are these little features and facets about people that are intimate with you in your life on a day-to-day basis. Like Ash, I had no idea that was something she was good at. And I know that this has been something inside of her that she's been dying to get out. So I think if you just kind of put it out there, then you'll be surprised at where things show up, and where they show up in a sense that's more comfortable for you as opposed to competitive.
Yeah. And I think being okay to try new things that you're not great at, like, that's for me. Yeah. I want to be good at everything. And so I'm like, ooh, I don't even want to try that, because if I do, you know, we see it when people used to come to our fitness classes. They're like, well, when I get really good is when I'll come and do your fitness class. I'm like, no. I'm like, you got to start somewhere. You got to start, like, let me help you start. And I think for some of us, we just need to hear the word start. You just got to start.
Right.
You just got to start somewhere. And everyone has started somewhere. Everyone that's awesome has started at the bottom. And everyone who you see as experts has started in the practice world. And so I think we just have to start. I want to ask you, our time is kind of closing. I feel like we could talk forever.
I totally could talk about this stuff forever. I love it. I love it.
I do too. So one of the questions that I ask everyone at the end, because I think it's so important for our community and the listeners here, is that, you know, bringing it back to simple acts of love and kindness that impact us. And I think for you, it's on this scale of just seeing others, maybe even in their struggle, whether it be a new person that comes to your class who's super nervous and you're kind of helping them along the way, or a complete newcomer and on the street who needs directions. And we always have someone that we can extend a simple act of love or kindness to. And I always think that in my head, like, okay, today, who is that person that needs just that, like, extra love and kindness? Because when I ask this question to all my guests, it is usually the simplest thing that they come up with. So my question is, what is a simple act of love or kindness that someone has done for you that has made a lasting impact in your life?
Tell someone how much you appreciate them.
So someone has done that to you that has made a huge difference for you.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
It literally happened to me last night. Now I'm coming off of Wednesday is, what's today? It's today, Tuesday, tomorrow's Wednesday. So I'm coming off of a binge of almost of over 3 weeks of teaching and teaching every single day. And it gets really hard to walk into the space and to try and motivate people to work out.
Yeah.
And last night I had one of my friends come up to me, or, you know, friend that's client that's been taking class with me for a long time. And he came up to me and he goes, I just want you to know, you have no idea how much you've impacted me in this last year. Mm. And he told me. Now, he's been taking class with me for a year. You know, he could have come up to me at any point within this last year and told me this exact same thing. And he basically had said to me, you have no idea how impactful your, he's like, I follow you. I purposely started following you on Instagram because I started taking class at Rumble, and you made a post and I saved it. He's like, that said, I'm going to make my dinner, sit down and eat it. You're more than welcome to join me, but I'm not going to bat a lash if you don't. And he's like that. And I can't remember the exact phrasing I used in my post on Instagram, but that I had gotten to a point in my life where I felt like that specifically, like I'm not going to compromise my standards, especially if they're good, positive morals and beliefs, to accommodate the masses around me. Not any different than I think anybody should, especially if it's a positive thing. And he's like, that moment of strength and empowerment that you put up on Instagram, he's like, you have no idea. It changed my life. I had lost my job. And oh, wow. I would look at that post and I would literally be like, I'm going to get it. And he's like, literally 2 weeks later, I had 4 job offers way better than where I was before. And he's like, now a year later, I'm doing better financially than I could have imagined. My health is better. The people in my life are better, all because of your post. And it's like, for someone that's an influencer or in the capacity where you're in the limelight, like me, in a sense, in the fitness world, it's like, understanding the magnitude you have with every move you make.
Yeah.
Walking down the street, smiling at somebody, yeah, turning, and when you purposely, you know, there's always that stigma about New Yorkers, that New Yorkers are mean. Now, I hate to admit, guys, but it's usually the tourists that come in that are mean, because you guys think that you need to fit in to be mean.
That's not so funny.
It's so weird.
That's so funny.
And you can see it. You can see it, like, as a New Yorker, you can see it on the train. I can always tell because, you know, they'll swipe their bag in the front of them and they're holding tightly onto their purse, or, you know, all these things that you see and you hear in the news. And New York is not like that at all. If you were to ask a New Yorker down the street for directions, anybody would love to tell you, because they'll tell you what, after living in the city or growing up here, you're proud to know where you're going.
Yeah, heck yeah, so heck yeah.
It's not a negative, but you also have to understand it takes 500 times longer to get anywhere here than it does anywhere else. So the chances are that you're catching somebody in a rush is very good.
Yeah.
And so the, you know, I just think it's all about how we look at things. And unfortunately, I think a lot of that is just by experience. But, you know, if you have the same kind of experience happening to you and things just keep, the same thing happens over and over and over, it will continue to show up and probably get harder until you recognize it and make a change.
Yeah.
You know, read that as a huge sign. If you're sick and something's happening, if you keep getting sick and you're like, damn, I do not know why I'm getting sick. Well, what are you, number one, what are you doing? What are the steps that you're doing? Not only medically, but mentally, what are you doing? Physically, what are you doing? Spiritually, what are you doing? Who are you surrounding yourself by? You know, are you making tiny little changes to make sure that you're putting yourself in the best position? Yeah. Because all of those things affect it.
They,
you know,
all, you're right. They all matter.
They all matter.
And hopefully this is just a good reminder for those even listening, is like, what are those tiny changes? Like, what are those tiny changes that we might need to make, whether it be fitness or what's the one thing that we need to start today? And then I just love what you said about telling someone that, you know, they appreciate you, because I think you're right. Whether you are an influencer, and you are, you're sponsored, you have a, you know, a ton of Instagram followers, like all those different things. But whether we have that or not, someone is always watching us. I did an interview with a leadership guy, and he's like, I don't care if you have a Fortune 500 company or no company, you are influencing someone. One person, someone is watching you, mm-hmm. someone is influencing, you're influencing. So for those of us listening that, you know, think that we don't, that's not true. And so everything that we do is being watched. And so the mm-hmm. words that come out of our mouth, the way that we treat others, that can be inspiring to someone else who may never tell you. I mean, you don't even know the people who may have never told you. And so I think that's just a great reminder for all of us that we can be an influence to all. No matter what we do. So I'm going to finish up with my favorite thing that we do on our podcast. And it's kind of just more of just telling the guests how much they're appreciated. Whether you have this incredible resume, you are an influencer, you're all these different things, but whether you had any of that or not, just who you are is a light in this world. And there are so many people. I do a little digging and find people in your life who love and adore you just for being you and the impact that you've made on them. So I want to read you just listen and have this speak over you, just some things that some of your friends and clients think about you. Okay.
Oh, crazy.
Okay.
Exactly what I was saying.
I know, right? Here you go. Here's some more. Okay. One person said, the first thing that came into my mind was role model. Christina has the biggest heart and is constantly making sure everyone around her is comfortable and feeling their best. Her passion for others is limitless and it truly shows. Whether she knows it or not, she's constantly inspiring and motivating others around her on a daily basis. Her energy is infectious, and simply being in her presence will inspire you to be the best that you can be. So thank you for being you, Christina, and inspiring and motivating me even through difficult times when I feel defeated. Keep being you. Here's another one. I can use many words to describe Christina, but I will choose kind. I met her back in January when I took one of her classes, and I expressed that I had some bad back and shoulder issues, and without even knowing me or being one of her regular clients, she stayed with me for almost an hour after class, teaching me how I can make modifications to help. Since then, I've become a regular in her classes, and we train privately. Christina took me from the girl, this is so sweet, Christina took me from the girl who always hid in the back to the girl who felt she could kill it in the front row. I am so incredibly grateful for her kindness towards me that cold day in January and grateful for her continued inspiration and support both in class and outside. So you're crying. I'm crying.
I'm tearing up.
I know. I mean, words just impact us so much, and maybe you didn't even know that just that extra hour, you know, I think just impacted her. And I love what she said. I want to be this person. I really want to be this person. You took me from the girl who always hid in the back to the girl who felt like she could kill it in the front row. And that's who I want to be. When people leave my presence, I want to be the one that they say, I hid in the back, but after I was with her, she gave me the encouragement to get in that front row and to do it. So thank you so much for doing that for others and just for being on our podcast today and inspiring others.
Well, thank you for doing the work you do, because it's impactful to us too.
Well, thank you.
Very, very, very. People need to hear all this stuff way more. And hopefully, you know, with someone like you out there, you know, we're going to keep pushing and forging ahead and make sure that people know.
We're all in it together. And I will put all of Christina's information on the show notes so that you can connect with her and see her Instagram and all the inspiring things that she does.
Yes. So, follow me on the gram and talk to me, because I talk back.
You talk back. She talks back like a New Yorker. Thanks, Christina. Have a great day. And thanks for just spending your day off with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. My pleasure.
'Cause all I need is... Hey, thanks for hanging out with our family today. We hope it inspired you and gave you ideas of how to live out love exactly where you are. We wish we could just hug each and every one of you and let you know what a difference you can make in this world. We would be so honored if you subscribed to our podcast, left a review if it inspired you, or shared with a friend, because we know word of mouth is actually what matters. And don't forget to share your stories at Be Strong Story on our social media of how you lived out the message of
Be strong, protect the weak, love everyone.
Because we believe with our whole hearts that every person can make a difference and inspire another.
See you next week.